Thank you for listening to the Highlander Podcast, where we have conversations about the past, present, and future of the outdoor industry. Thanks to Utah State University's Outdoor Product Design and Development Program for making it possible and for training the future product leaders of the outdoor industry. Learn more about the program at opdd.usu.edu. The Highlander Podcast is sponsored by the Outdoor Recreation Archive, a collaboration between OPDD and USU Special Collections to preserve the history and print materials of the people, products, and brands of the outdoor industry. Follow the archive at Outdoor Rec Archive on Instagram. The Highlander Podcast is sponsored by the Utah Outdoor Association, a business association focused on elevating Utah's outdoor industry through educational programming and events. Their membership consists of Utah's outdoor manufacturers, retailers, outfitters, and guides. Member benefits include networking opportunities, recruitment of talent, and brand promotion. More information about volunteering and membership is available at utahoutdoor.org. On this episode, Diane Bristol, VP of Culture and Community at Revelist, talks to students about how to connect their personal values to those of a brand. Diane is joined by Jackie Robinette, an HR business partner at Camp Chef, one of Revelist brands.
Thank you for having me, Chase. And Chase and I have been talking for a very long time, and I don't know if we started our conversation, Chase, right when you were bringing the program forward? Pretty early.
Probably.
Yes, and we've actually hired a few people that have been through the program, most recently Chad Lewis, and he was, what year did he graduate?
I'm losing track. It might have been 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really fun. He's since moved on and really had a great time with us. We enjoyed working with him. And I just am delighted with the program and its evolution and what Chase and the team have done here. It's really a great program, and you're all fortunate that you get to do it, because there aren't very many across the country, and there certainly aren't that many university courses that teach you some things that aren't hard skills. Culture is entirely a soft skill. It's not easy to learn. There's a lot of books on it. But you never know if the book you're reading is really going to help you and really sink in. So I'm delighted to be here. As Chase said, I'm Diane Bristol. I'm the VP of Culture, People, Culture, and Community, formerly with Sims Fishing Products in Bozeman, Montana. We were acquired by Vista Outdoor in August of 22. And the evolution of Vista Outdoor has become that the ammo side of things, federal and those ammo side, they're going to split off into the kinetic group. And then the outdoor products, the balance of the brands are going to be the Revelist group. So Sims is rolling up under the Revelist group. And in October, we announced that we would have three platforms. There would be Outdoor Performance, which Sims is part of, and Camp Chef, which Jackie Robinette has been with Camp Chef for about
3 years.
And my partner on the HR side and people side here in Logan. So we have Outdoor Performance as one of the platforms, and then we have Adventure Sports. That is in Irvine, and that includes Fox Sports, Camelback, Bell and Giro, who am I forgetting? And Quiet Cat, that's right. And then we have Precision Sports, which is Foresight, the golf simulator, and Bushnell Golf. So that just was announced in October, and now we are deep in the middle of bringing brands together. We just announced at the beginning of February that Outdoor Performance headquarters would be in Bozeman, Montana, and that the secondary location would be here in Logan. So very exciting. Jackie and Chase were just talking about how she's going to be staying in touch on roles that we have that will be opening and we'll need to fill. And then, of course, a lot of roles in Bozeman. So it's an easy drive, 6 hours, really nice, or a quick flight. Culture is really one of those things that can be very fuzzy and equally important. And it's pretty neutral in general, You know, when you think about it in the world, people can identify good culture, toxic culture. In the workplace, it really is dependent upon how the leadership team shows up, how the folks show up, how you hire people, how you do things around the organization. And so it can be incredibly embracing and engaging when you join the company, or it can be immediately off-putting if it's not a good fit for you. And so when Chase invited me to speak on this, I had some ideas about what I would talk about today. I do have my notes just to make sure I stay on topic. But I want to make sure to make the connection between your personal values and purpose and a company's personal value and purpose, and have you think about, as you enter the workplace or you're looking for a new role, how you can assess that when you are interviewing for jobs, how you might look for the culture within the community, besides maybe just a picture of the core values posted on the wall. So I think as you think about a new job, why is culture important for you? So if you think about looking at an organization and interviewing with them, does it feel like the team has a shared sense of purpose? That's really key. You're thinking about, you're going into this organization, if you're seeing alignment, you're hearing it, there's some consistent language as you're interviewing, that's a pretty good sign. Now, does it fit your core values? That's for you to figure out. But certainly if you hear alignment, if you hear common themes, that's a really good sign that probably the culture is really strong in that organization. Is there consistency and understanding of the company's vision and strategy? And that's a good one to really inquire and ask about and dive a little bit deeper when you are in the interview process. Asking multiple people, what is the business strategy? What's the vision of the company? And if you get, it might be a little bit nuanced between people and how they envision it, but if it's very similar, that's a great sign of a strong company culture. Other ways that you can assess, think about when you're asking people, when you're interviewing, because your interview should be also assessing if this is a good place for you, a good fit for you. It shouldn't be a one-sided conversation where they are coming to you and making sure you're a good fit. You want to do the same thing, and that's why culture is so important. So when you're talking with them and you're in the interview process and you're interviewing different folks, then ask them how they discuss and talk about how the decision-making process happens and how they get in a room and is there disagreement and how do they come to alignment and what are the kind of things that they use to decide how to go forward and how do they communicate that once they leave the room. I would tell you that good culture doesn't mean that everybody agrees on everything all of the time. That should not be the case. You should have healthy dialogue. You should have healthy discussion. You should ask questions. You should push other people. But once you come to conclusion, and there's always the final answer person, usually that's the president, CEO, or GM, generally. But once that decision is made, you all need to leave the room, and you all need to be aligned and in agreement. That is a great sign of positive culture. Then inquire about what their core values are. I understand from Chase that you all worked on your personal values, which is really important to have that as you go out into the workplace because you want to make sure, is that company aligned? And a sign that you need to explore further is if you ask if there are core values and somebody says, oh yeah, we have them, I don't remember, or oh, you know, I got this card when I started and it's on there. Yep, it's posted up there. I don't know what they are, but they're right there. Really, it's fun in the interview process when you ask people what the core values are. It's super fun if they know what they are. It's even better if you could say, oh, could you give me an example, a personal example of how you live the core values or how you've seen that reflected in the organization? So think about your core values and how you would communicate those back to them as well, and find commonalities. Is there something that's shared between the company's core values and yours? Really important. And then what does collaborative work look like to them when you have an organization, especially for all of you that are in the product world and the merchandising and design world? Collaboration is absolute, right? If you're a designer, you have to take what the merchant has given you of this piece that they want, because the consumer needs it in the world, and it's for this consumer, and it needs to hit this target, and it needs to perform in this environment, and it needs to do all these things. If you take that and then you say, I am the best designer in the world and I'm going to do this and I'm going to nail it and it's going to be awesome and they won't even need to ask me any questions, we can just go to market with this, that lacks collaboration. And in every case in the product world, while you have skills and expertise, you need to talk with the merchants. You need to have relationships with the merchants to make sure you're aligned. You need to have relationships with the developers that are going to take your 2D concept and bring it to life. So you have to have the ability to build relationships and collaborate. You have to be in sync with the sales team and the marketing team so that you're sure when you bring it to market, that product gets positioned where it needs to be with the right crowd and the right marketing collateral, and you're part of that process. So collaboration is key. And it doesn't mean, here's your list of things to do, now go do them. It should be an environment where you're asking questions and you're engaging and having that dialogue back and forth. Communication, how does it happen when you're in the interview process? How does communication happen from the top down? How does it happen from your direct manager? How does it happen amongst your peers? That's really important. And again, if somebody hands you a list and says, here, go do this, maybe there's some room for a little bit more exchange there and some curiosity. Of course, if you're new, sometimes you're going to need more of that kind of process. But as you embed yourself in the organization, you should expect that there are leaders coming and engaging in conversation, and there's managers engaging in conversation, and your peers are talking. And that you're getting up out of your desk instead of sending an email, really important. Is there a sense of community in the organization? These are all things that build culture. And by community, I mean, yes, that's internal. Do you see that there are groups outside of the immediate department that are engaging across the organization, or is it fairly siloed within the department? And also inclusivity, right? If you think about at Sims, as an example, we actually make waders in Bozeman, Montana. We make fishing waders. And so there's a whole production floor of 60 people that are sewing fishing waders. And then there's the developers on the third floor that are designing and developing. They'll go down to the sample room, and then they'll go back up and tweak things, and then they'll come back down. That handoff is so important, and so engaging with them throughout the process so that when you do hand it over to go into commercialization, it's not like you go, here, drop it on your desk, and then have them work on it. So engaging, collaborating, and building a sense of community and having everyone feel a part of that is really important. Another great question to explore culture within an organization is, how do they recognize people and how frequently? What does that look like? And so these are great questions that you can ask during the interview process. Find out, you know, is it annually? Is it a very formal annual thing? Do people like to acknowledge people when they do something out of their scope when they bring people together? Could be a lot of things. And also on that community, think about, are there events and activities that happen outside of a monthly lunch? Is there something that connects you with the community? Like, as an example, we have Fishing Flex Fridays, or we have volunteer time, we call it share time, where you get paid to go do volunteer work. And it's really a good sign if people within the organization want to go do this together, or they'll let you know that they're going to do something, and so they grab you and you sign up to volunteer and go do that. These are things that demonstrate a really strong culture within the organization, and it also does demonstrate that the company has some values that are tied to that. What does the office layout look out? That can really be an example of what the culture looks like at an organization. And Jackie and I were just talking about that. Camp Chef is going to be moving into a new building here soon. And I was telling her, we moved into the Sims building in 2012, and we have a bunch of cubicles, and you can't see who's on the other side of the cubicle, and there's a lot of people in there, but you don't know who's there. That's not a culture building environment. It's not very welcoming. So with this outdoor performance platform, we're going to tear down those walls, and we're going to create more of a more of an engaging environment. But as you go into these interviews, you can definitely have a sense of what that looks like, how that might be. And another thing that builds a strong culture within an organization is, do they have learning and development programs? And they may be not as formal as other areas. Larger corporations tend to have tracks that they can put you on for development. There are other things they can do, like monthly book clubs, or they can do manager training, or they can do informal lunch and learns and things like that. So be asking about those sorts of things and finding out what the organization does. That might help you to engage with other people and also continue your education specific to the area that you're entering. And another really important thing is, does the organization, I don't like the word engagement survey, because then that generally is an annual thing. There's very prescribed questions. They can be very helpful to us, but it may not feel as authentic to everyone that's taking the engagement survey. What I find to be very helpful, and Jackie, you jump in here on things you've done, I find that bringing people together and doing roundtables occasionally in a very informal and safe environment can lend to some great feedback. And that really is demonstrative of a culture that is curious and listening. We may not do all of the things that we've talked about, but then to come back and explain why we may not do them is really critical too. But hearing that feedback in an environment that isn't as formal and prescriptive as an engagement survey that happens once a year can be a great sign of positive culture. And with that, I'll pause a minute. As you're thinking about your core values and you're thinking about where you might go in the world and the questions you might ask, does anyone have a question? Anyone want to share one value?
Play.
Yeah, it's important to you. So as you look at an organization and you might see, you'll ask their values, would work hard, play hard be okay for you?
Yeah, honestly, as long as I get to mess around, but I think it's also should be incorporated inside the company where it's like, you can creatively play with different things.
Oh, great.
Play with each other and make connections in
that way. Yep, that's great. Yeah, not just the physical act, but more of how the environment's set up to engage with others. Yeah, and have fun. Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for sharing. Anyone else?
Yeah, another value.
No? No. Oh, yes, transparency. Yeah, that's a good one. And that's interesting, too, as you ask for company core values. You might have to ask for more definition, because transparency is challenging for people to come forward with. Yeah, that's a good one.
I feel like I have to research and deep dive into the company and ask questions I already know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, something you might think about, I don't know if you've read the 5 Whys, but as you're interviewing with somebody and they say, oh, we do this, and just dive deeper and see if they're able to answer the 5 Whys. And that's a pretty transparent environment if they're able to and sharing. Yeah, great one. One thing I did want to talk about and a good segue into it is when you are interviewing, ask for the company's strategy. And if a company has a strategy, it lends itself really nicely to what Jackie just talked about, that transparency, and also understanding your role in helping to achieve those goals. So having clarity on what the goals are and expectations, and then how are you contributing? What is not only the expectation of the specific role or the deliverables that and the output you need to have, but how are you contributing to that across the organization? So strategy is something that companies always want to have one. Not all companies are good at that. And they also may establish a strategy 10 years ago and they fail to pull it back out and refresh it because things are happening so quickly, as all of you see, that having even a five-year-old strategy, I think our long-range plan now is 5 years. That's it. Like, and then we're evolving and moving and refreshing. So that's a great sign to a culture that is recognizing that we need to be transparent in what our vision is, what our strategy is. We are transparent and clear on our expectation of our team members. And so you know what you need to do to help contribute to that. And then also being able to celebrate that and recognize people and make sure that, that they understand the contribution is really critical to the success of the company. I think one question that I wrote down that I thought would be interesting is, should you accept a job if it doesn't align with your core values? What do you think? It's your first job. I'm going to lay it out for you. It's your first job. It's a great offer, like maybe more money than you thought if that was important to you. It might be more higher title or something. And you've asked the questions about culture, and you're not sure that it exactly aligns. Do you take the job? Yes.
I feel like it could be a bring your core values. Do you take it, or it could like change your core values? It could shape the way you see things.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a great growing experience.
Could be.
First job.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like it depends on, for me specifically, like one of my core values is honesty, right? And it's like, if that's one, it's like, absolutely not. But if there's another one, like when I'm looking for my first job, I want to find somewhere that's going to help me grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'll probably still grow in this role, but if I don't feel like that's the priority, I might still look at it, right? Like, it depends on the core value.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yes.
I feel like, yeah, it depends on the person and like what their core values are, and also like how much can I pay you to sell out your core values.
It's a great point.
So I think there's a price for everyone. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
Depends.
Yeah. A little self-reflection, right?
Yeah.
I picked these core values. How important are they? No. Yep. Yep. Anyone else? Yes.
I think it's a great growing opportunity to. If it's not something that you value, then you know more why after you leave the company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good way to experience something that you're not comfortable with, possibly, and just grow you more as a person.
Yep. There's a lot of room for self-awareness if you enter into a role that you maybe think isn't exactly aligned with your core values. Yeah. Yeah. I would encourage you never to go against your honesty core value, ever. Anyone else? Yes.
I feel like if you're at a company that like you don't relate with your core values, you don't feel like yourself, and you don't like be, you won't be giving your like best work and stuff. Like, I don't know, I feel like you won't be able to fully give vulnerabilities to the company. Like, really, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great point. Also, there's a level of energy that you probably have to expend a lot more energy in a company that you're not exactly aligned, because you're showing up every day and you're in conflict with what you know the organization is, you know, kind of how that organization runs. Yes.
I also think, like, if it diverges far enough from your core values, that it's not being attached to your own stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of like to think of, is that like,
Yeah. all of these things are really great points. And I think these are the things that you're going to challenge yourself as you enter the workforce and you're thinking about joining companies that you don't know well. And your experience with them is the interviews that you've had, the visits you've had, the work you do to learn more about them. And I just would encourage you in these environments, if they invite you for more interviews, take the opportunity to dive deeper and learn some of those things, as opposed to, of course you're going to want to talk about compensation. That is, of course. Of course you're going to want to know what the benefits are. Those are really important. Just don't leave out the conversations that are more on these deeper engagement with the organization. And if they're not answering the questions, continue to try and find that out and ask if there's somebody else. Hopefully there is a people and culture person like Jackie or myself there that you can set up a meeting with if it's not on the agenda. That's always a great thing to do. Always be curious and continue to push and ask questions. Just because it's not on the agenda or just because the interviewers are not asking them doesn't mean you shouldn't. And I'll share with you the interview process that we have to try and identify if folks are a good cultural fit for us is I do a career history interview. And so part of that is learning the people and the events that have influenced you to get you to where you are today. So for all of you, there's not a lot of career history there, but I am curious. How did you land here in this school? How did you decide on this major? You know, what interested you? Were there people that influenced you to get you to where you are? And do you stay in touch with them? You can do those types of questions with the interviewers. At the end, I leave 15 minutes for people to ask me questions. And I so value the people that dive deeper and ask additional harder questions, more questions about, tell me about the people in the organization and are there pockets of people that, do things differently than others and what happens when there's conflict and what are the things that keep you up at night and how do you see the future and why have you stayed there that long? And so take opportunity to ask those questions and be prepared with those questions. That will certainly help you to have insight into that culture, at least in the way that you can make better informed decisions. Once you're in, you take the job. Congratulations. It's going to be great. I'd really like to ask you all, how do you think you can contribute to a healthy and vibrant culture within the organization? You're new, right? What could you do? Anyone? Thoughts? Yes.
I think getting to know your teammates or asking them to go get coffee or eat lunch with them, just to get to know them more personally rather than just the workplace.
Yep. It's a great idea. Create opportunities to get to know them outside of sitting next to each other. Yeah. Other ideas? Oh yeah.
If you're new, you're probably, fresh blood, and so you have a new perspective. So maybe not being shy and, voicing your opinions and voicing new perspectives would be a good way to add vibrancy to a company.
Awesome. Yeah. We love that. When people are new to the organization, sometimes you have a team of people that have been working together for a very long time. They kind of know what their actions are going to be. They know where they're thinking. When we have a new individual come into the room and share ideas, it's so exciting because it makes you think differently, and it may be a path you never thought of. So never look at yourself in an environment and say, I'm not going to be able to speak up until I've been here 3 months or 6 months. That would be just really sad to miss the opportunity for fresh thinking. So, try and find a culture that invites that and welcomes that and engages with you. I'll share an example. We had someone that joined us in the marketing team, and we were, you know, Fridays, there weren't a lot of people super excited to be at work on Friday. I don't know why. I mean, it's so much fun. Look at, you're here. It's Friday. It's fun. And she said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do soup group. And we're going to rotate every Friday. And somebody's going to sign up and bring soup. And everyone else is going to come and eat it. So easy, right? Like, all she did was make the list to sign up. It's not like she was making soup every Friday. Now, she does make really good sourdough bread. So that got us there. But it's that simple. It's just taking a creative idea. We had another person, trivia night. It wasn't at Sims, but it was down the road. And they said, hey, on Thursday night, there's trivia night. Who wants to go? And a whole team of Sims people now go to Thursday night trivia, and it's a thing, and they talk about it. And, you know, I'm terrible at trivia, so that I am invited, but I'm more so the support. But those are things that you don't necessarily think are part of a business culture that actually contribute so much. I will also tell you, when a company has a very strong and positive culture, those team members tell other people outside of the organization about roles that are open, about the company and how great it is. And that is a recruiting tool that Jackie and I love more than anything else. There's no better recruiting tool than a great culture that people are so positive and want to tell people about it. And even if it's not your friend that's coming to work, it's the friend of a friend that comes to work. And those people are kind of already vetted. So that's a really good way to grow that culture and build that culture. And then also when you're out and you go volunteer for something and you're talking about it, like, I get paid to go do this volunteer work because it's important to the organization and it's important to me, that builds a great culture within the community, which makes you excited to work at the company. And then the company is contributing at another level within the community. So let's go back to your purpose and values. And as you think about this, and I'm talking about this and sharing, I would like for you to think about, as you, first of all, did you do purpose work as well, Chase? Just values. A good next step for you as you start to, you know, move through your college career and then onto your professional career, establish your own purpose so that you understand, what does it look like for you? Where do you really want to lean into so that you can make sure as you're in a corporate world and a company that you're fulfilling what you want to do and what you really enjoy doing and where you add value? And we have done this exercise at Sims several times. And when people do that, we've had a couple of folks, one specifically was in accounting. She went to accounting school, graduated, was in the accounting team. And she went through the whole exercise, and then she came back to me, and she was like really tense and bothered by it. And she said, I realized I don't want to be an accountant. I would actually like to go to nursing school. And because we have a tuition program, she would take classes and she utilized the tuition program to go do something that wasn't at Sims. We don't need nurses. But that's a sign of a strong culture. When you want people, you want to help people find the career that's right for them and is the good fit for them. Hi. So think about that. Do establish your own purpose. Values and purpose for yourself are equally important to what an organization's are. So I thought I would share the Sims purpose and values just to give you a perspective, and I'll give you some examples. So the Sims purpose is we connect anglers to their best days. And I'll point out, it doesn't say best day on the water. It just says best day because we believe that if we do everything the way that we feel is right for an angler, they're going to enjoy the preparation for a fishing trip. They're going to enjoy whatever happens on the fishing trip. They may not catch all the fish or the biggest fish, but they went with the good friends. They had a great time. It probably rained. It maybe snowed, but they were in great gear. They didn't care about the weather. They had the best time. They went out afterward. They had a great dinner. They were in their Sims gear. They went to a lodge, whatever. They tied flies until 3 a.m. They had a great time. That's their best day. It's not on the water. It's whatever I have identified as their best day that relates to fishing. Our mission is to become the most meaningful brand in fishing. That also is open to interpretation and very important in our culture for our team to identify what meaningful is. In the corporate world, the CEO could come in and say, meaningful means this to us, and I'm going to tell you what that means. For us, we want our team to identify what meaningful means to Sims. Truth, a life in fishing is a life well lived. Again, that's very big, that's very broad. We make fishing products, that's what we do. But we feel like there's a bigger purpose and a bigger truth for us. And our promise is to create products and services that transform the fishing experience and culture. That's a pretty big goal. But it's what gets our team inspired and motivated to come to work. And that drives a really positive culture for us. So our values are teamwork. We know we're better together. And that's really important in the Sims culture. We have hired some folks that are have a very lone wolf mentality. And by that I mean, and you can see that in the design world often, that they will say, this is the best product and I'm bringing this to market and there's no collaboration and no engagement with other people like the marketing team or the sales team or even the direct-to-consumer folks. And for us, that lone wolf mentality just is not a good fit for us. We make better decisions together as a group. Ownership is really important to us. We want folks to be accountable. We want to recognize that if we make a mistake, we own it, we learn from it, and we grow from that, and we admit to that. We're not going to shame people for making mistakes. We want you to learn from it, but we do want you to be accountable for that. Curiosity, we call this work like you fish. If you enjoy fishing, you know that you don't generally take one fly to the river and know that that's going to be the fly that's going to catch all the fish all the time, and you're going to stand in that one spot because that's where you went yesterday and it was so productive. So I'm going to go to that spot with that fly that I used yesterday and it worked great. I see you shaking your head. It changes all the time. So if you like fishing, you know that you're going to have to go up to the river. You're going to have to wait a minute, hopefully, look around, check out the environment, explore, be curious, try a fly. If that doesn't work, change the fly. If that doesn't work, put on another fly, change your tippet. There are a lot of things that you do in fishing that are really reflective of having a curious nature. And we love that within the Sims environment. It gives us a lot of opportunity to ask questions. And for all of you, that's what I mean when I say, as a new person, don't wait 30, 60, 90 days to ask questions because you're new. Be curious so that you better understand, why am I being asked to do this? Why am I doing it this way? We say, just because that's the way we've always done it, doesn't mean it's the right way or the best way. We can always improve. So everyone should be curious in the Sims world. Humility, lead with kindness, respect, and self-awareness. So humility for us is asking questions again, being curious of others, and also understanding that my answer isn't always the best answer or the right answer. Connectivity, embrace and support our communities. This is internal and external. I talk a lot about volunteering. That's a very big deal for us. And that's also what makes connections. We also have a core angling group at Sims. It's all volunteer. They love to fish. They like to engage people that aren't as fishy as they are. Teach them how to tie flies, take them to the water, teach them how to row a boat. Those are things that people really like, and it brings that connectivity. It gets you to meet other people and learn more about them out of the workplace. And then finally, dedication, committed to the long haul. And sustainability is a word that you all know is used a lot. Ours is really dedication in that we want to build products that last for a very long time. We don't want them in the landfill. We want them to be out on the water and fishing. We also want people to think that way. We don't want to have a short-term thinking strategy. When we open a new distributor, we want to be thinking about, is this a distributor or a dealer that's going to be a good partner for a very long time? We like that of consumers. If we are engaged with them and making the things that they want to use, that's going to be a long relationship, and we want to engage with them along the way. So all of that lends itself to a very strong culture, and all of those values are part of the interview process as we talk about things. And I don't sit at my desk and go, tell me about your dedication. I don't do it that way, but it's in the ways that I ask for things, you know, examples. If you were to do this, give me an example. And it's fun to get to learn about people in that way and explore and get and know more about them. That helps us to identify a good culture fit or not. And with that, I mean, I'm ahead of schedule a little bit.
What questions do you guys have?
We've got about 5 minutes.
5 minutes for so many questions. So many questions. Yes?
What's something that you've seen that set someone apart that surprised you? Like you weren't looking for it and it surprised you that
something that somebody, yep. I am going, there have been a few folks, I will, these are both positive references. One person that I interviewed for a vice president role and took them through the career history interview. And after I was done, the individual said, this is the worst interview I've ever had. And he did not want the job. And he came back later and he explained to me that it was like, this company seems like they just want to know so much about you, and I don't like that, and I don't like that culture. So great, because it probably wouldn't have been a good fit anyway. So I really appreciated that he was honest with me about that instead of just, you know, wrapping up the interview and going on his way. So that was super helpful. I appreciated that. He surprised me for sure. And then I had another individual that I was doing the career history interview, and she said at the end of it, you have taken me on a journey that I haven't been on in a long time. And it's helping me to recognize that I need to look at a different avenue for what I want to do. Both super positive. And then I would also say the person that we did the path of progress or the purpose exercise, and she said she didn't want to be in accounting. Yeah. But those are examples of what could appear to be negative, but were very positive because we were exploring culture and values and those sorts of things that aren't normally part of a typical interview process. I would say every day at Sims, I'm so impressed and delighted with people when they're really living the culture and they really get it and they get so excited. And they bring new stuff all the time. Yeah, the soup group was good, so do that. Yeah.
Being, I guess, bought
out, you know what, I'd say a couple of things. One, COVID was super interesting for us because we were not essential, and so we had to send all of our waiter makers home. And the rest of us could continue to work virtually, but you can't sew waiters out of your house. We ended up making medical gowns, reusable medical gowns, and we brought the whole team back within a month of sending everyone home. That was a very powerful culture builder because we had purpose and we were adding value and during a very scary time. So it made an incredible culture And within a year and some months, then we were acquired by a very big public company. So those two were very interesting in that we were so solid. Vista has been really great as a partner because they've basically, as Sims, let us be on a standalone, and that was true of Camp Chef as well. With this recent platform change where we're bringing about 20 brands into the Outdoor Performance Group, there's a lot of concern that, you know, how do we maintain the brand culture? So how does Camp Chef have a culture? How does Sims have a culture? And then how does Outdoor Performance under Revelist have a culture, and how do we engage and connect like that? And so that will be very purposeful on how we make sure to not homogenize, because all of these brands are really passionate about what we do it. And so we want to maintain that and then bring them together. So we're work in progress, I would answer. Yeah.
I think the strength of it is the communication. So it doesn't really matter who owns us if we are understanding the purpose of being brought together. So the more we have great communication, we can still have our individual identities and our individual cultures, but they become better aligned with communication.
Yeah.
I think you had a question.
Yeah, I was just curious if you had seen someone else been hired where their values didn't quite align with the company's values, and they like weren't able to change the values of the company to match theirs or see that alignment.
Yeah, we have had that. And the good thing was that I think as a human, they were far enough in their career, they were very comfortable identifying how they came to work and how they showed up. And they were comfortable hearing, like, maybe this isn't good alignment for us. And that was the dialogue that we ended up having, because it did lend itself to conflict. And conflict is healthy. Again, I'm going to be really clear about that. Conflict is healthy. It's not healthy if it continues once you leave the room. And that's kind of where we ended up being like, this isn't a good values match. And it was fine. We've had others, for folks that are newer in their careers, that really did want to change the values and really pushed back a lot. And we would have a lot of dialogue, myself and then groups of people, just to understand where they were coming from. And that's part of that listening and engaging in conversation. At the end of the day, it was still the idea, like, those are fine values for you, but that's just not who we are as a brand. But good to engage in the conversation and be, you know, just recognize that it exists. Yeah. And then sometimes, well, we did just redo our values. You should always be evolving your values and making sure that they still align with the brand and the company. And that's when sometimes then new things will be introduced. Yeah. Yeah. Others? All right. Yes? Yeah, that's a great question. And that is an area that culturally we have to be very vigilant on, because it is an upstairs, downstairs, right? There's a clear separation. And when I mentioned inclusivity, that's part of it, is how are we doing things that engage both, you know, the upstairs team to come down on the floor and engage with the waiter makers, and how we also bring them up to see what goes on. And that's where in waiter development, it's so important that the design team and the product developers are on the floor and bringing them along and getting feedback. That's one really critical one, because they're the ones that have to make it work. And if the team just comes down and throws a product on their desk, they're going to be like, okay, we'll make it work. Not a good environment if we do that. We also really want to celebrate and acknowledge that all of our roles are wildly different, and take skills and expertise that we don't know what you have to have. So we take the second and third floor folks, and we'll every year just about go down and make a part of a waiter. And it's very, it's a realization that I have none of those skills and I would not be hired for that role. I totally value the skills and expertise that that team has. And they get to engage with us and show us why they do what they do. And here's what leads to this. And here's why this makes it better. And I think that's probably true in Camp Chef. I know their customer service team has to learn how to put a Camp Chef grill together and, you know, bring the teams together to understand where we all add value. And that's really important.
In our world, a couple of good examples of this, and I think that's a great question to ask in an interview, is like, how do your teams help support each other? And so a couple of weeks ago, we had forklift training. Well, forklift training is a priority for our warehouse people, but not necessarily for our engineers or our designers or our marketing department or HR. But I went out and got forklift certified because occasionally we have an emergency order that needs to go out, and it's all hands to the warehouse, and we're all out there running forklifts and getting product out. Or if we have a product that comes in and there's an adjustment to that, we have to open up all the boxes, make the adjustment, put the new part in. It's super helpful for our designers to understand the importance of designing a product and making sure the part is actually working, because when we find out that it's not working, guess who's gonna be out there undoing those boxes and putting those parts back in and resealing the boxes? Everybody is. And so, in our environment, your hands on deck. If we say everybody in the warehouse, it doesn't mean if it's the president of the company, he gets off the phone, he comes out to the warehouse, and we're all opening boxes, putting in the right part, closing them up, getting forklift and out the trailer. So if a company doesn't do that when it's important, then I think you end up in situations where you're truly not understanding the workload of everybody else, and you make decisions that impact other people's workload that you're not even thinking about. So I think it's super helpful if you have those hands-on-deck moments where everybody participates in it.
Yep, that's right. Great question. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Highlander Podcast. For more conversations with outdoor leaders, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, watch episodes on the Outdoor Product Design and Development YouTube channel, or on opdd.usu.edu/podcast. Follow along on Instagram at USU Outdoor Product and let us know how you're enjoying the show.